And, you know, this is really, really special. Your zeal, your faithfulness, your devotion, it inspires me. And it reminds me of a time ago.
Perfectly timed.
Whee! But you guys, you know, I was sitting in your seat about 29 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
And I remember hearing messages and hearing things like, "You're the future of the church."
Right, right.
"You guys are going to help build the next generation."
Amen.
And you know what? It's true. And I'm so thankful that God brought Rob Novak here to New Jersey. He grew up in New Jersey, but he studied up there with the Boston boys.
Come on.
But the beauty of it is he's a Jersey boy himself.
Yeah.
He made a very wise decision and married a Rockland County girl.
All right.
And when I look at our staff and I see the Novaks, I see Matt, Mark, I get welled up with gratitude because I've watched these young men go from boys to men. And that's what it's all about. And even as I look out, there are many of you who've grown up in the church, and it's so encouraging to see your faithfulness. The other thing that's more encouraging is those of you who I do not know, because you're like me. You came into the church and you didn't have this upbringing. You didn't have these roots and connections. And you know, if God could work in my life the way that he has, you got a bright future ahead of you. Tonight we're going to continue in the series of being equipped.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about being equipped with hope. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Not wishing, but it's going to happen. You know, God tells us in Romans 15, you can jot these scriptures down. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. God wants you and I to mature through life. God wants you to learn how to hit the curveball.
Hey.
There's things that come at you and you're not sure what in the world is going on. He wants you to enjoy that mountaintop experiences.
Right.
And he wants you to cling to him in the valleys. But through it all, he wants you to remember something. He wants you to remember that he is with you.
Amen.
And you know, it's amazing. Because God is with us.
Right.
But the question is, do you believe it? I want to talk about two things tonight. I want to talk about God's perspective. And then I want to talk about giving glory to God.
Come on, bro.
God's perspective. Now we're going to run through some scriptures here because one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Joseph.
Hey.
So in Genesis chapter 37, you can jot these scriptures down. Again, I'm going to just kind of go through them. Genesis 37, verse 28. And if you know the story, Joseph, he didn't have an easy life. He kind of started out on top, and he was treated really special, and then life began to hit him. And in Genesis 37, verse 28, the Bible says, so when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. He was only 17 years old. His brothers hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. Genesis 39, verse 20. The Bible says Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, he prospered. So he goes from being sold into slavery. He's then sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. He's falsely accused, and now he's put in prison. And yet God was with him. Chapter 40, verse 23. Genesis 40, verse 23. It says, the cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him for 2 years. So when Joseph was put in prison, what happens is, he has one of the cupbearer and the chief baker had dreams. And Joseph interprets the dreams for him. And what ends up happening is basically what he said was going to happen. And so the cupbearer is restored to his role. The baker was killed. And the cupbearer forgot who helped him. And there he was in jail for 720 more days, waiting. And then God intervened. Genesis chapter 50. Are you with me, guys?
Yes.
Come on, Russ.
I love this Genesis.
Does this sound like a blessed life?
No.
Does this sound like a highway to heaven? But here's something that you and I got to keep understanding. God's ways are not our ways.
Amen.
Our thinking is not God's thinking. And through all of these challenges, Joseph doesn't lose faith. Joseph doesn't become bitter. Joseph doesn't, you know, start playing the blame game. In fact, as God was continuing to work, his brothers, God sends a famine on the land. His brothers come back to Egypt, and now Joseph has been raised to second in command.
Wow.
He's the most powerful man in Egypt. His brothers come in, they don't even recognize him. And so Joseph puts a little test out there for them. Because you see, you got to remember something. Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, they had the same mama. And so Joseph is like, let me see if these guys have changed.
Right.
And so he puts a little test, and basically he puts Benjamin in a situation where it looks like he's stolen from the Pharaoh.
Right.
And in that situation, they bring Benjamin back, and Joseph is sitting there saying, let's see if they're going to sell him out like they sold me out.
Right.
Let's see if these guys changed. And boy, Judas steps up. And he says, hey, listen, Pharaoh, I promised my father, and I guarantee his son's return if I don't go back with him. is going to break my father's heart. Mm. And at that moment, the Bible says Joseph told all of his officials to get out of the room.
Mm. Wow.
And he breaks down and he cries. And he pulls his brothers close to him. And he says, look at me. Mm. It's me, Joseph. Yes, the one that you sold into slavery. Yes, the one that you hated.
Wow.
It's me. But look at his thinking. Genesis 50, verse 15.
Come on, Russ.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servant of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Listen to what he says. Am I in the place of God? Even though he was the second most powerful man in the world, he says, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Mm. Come on.
Joseph got God's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He saw adversity that he faced in his life as a part of God's plan.
Yeah.
Not that God was making it hard on him. Not that God was punishing him for his sin. Not that God was giving him a hard time. He saw it as a part of God's plan. You know, when I became a Christian in 1990, I was 20 years old. I was a junior and the captain of the basketball team at NJIT.
What's up, Russ?
That's not the important part.
Come on, bro. That's important.
But at that time, I remember how angry I was.
Wow.
I remember how 2 years prior, after I graduated from high school, I was recruited to play basketball at Montclair State.
Woo!
And I left home to go play ball. And I remember coming back home for Thanksgiving. And when I came through the door, my brother's laying on the couch and I said, where's mommy? And he said, she left. Now I'm the oldest of four. And I have, you know, my brother right behind me and I have two younger sisters. My parents had a terrible marriage. Terrible. They used to fight. And I'd be standing in between them at 12 years old.
Wow.
13 years old. Cops coming, family members. I mean, it was terrible. And I remember developing a deep resentment for my father because I felt like he failed our family. And so that day when I came home and mom was gone, I grabbed my bags and I put up this wall 15 feet deep. And I said, I'm going back to college. And I'm going to graduate and get my degree. And I'm not getting caught up in the drama.
Right.
And that's what I did. Mm. And every time I think about that, I'm like, man, you got to be kind of hard to do that.
Right.
But you know, sometimes in life, hard situations unfortunately make us harder.
Mm. Yeah.
It causes us to, you know, protect ourselves. So from 18 to 20, now, mind you, I had a girlfriend, that I've been dating since I was 15 years old. And we had already made plans. We're going to get married when I'm a junior in college, or we're going to get engaged when I'm a junior in college. And, you know, we had all of these plans and all that. So when I transferred out at NJIT, now it's the summer going towards 1990. And I'm at my one grandmother's home, and I find out the news that my grandparents on my mom's side, who've been married over 40 years, 9 kids, were getting a divorce. I immediately became hopeless about marriage. And here I tell you, I'm planning on getting engaged later that year. And I was hopeless. And I remember sitting down in my grandmother's living room, and I was making a scrapbook from, you know, stuff from high school and college and putting this stuff together. And I remember saying, the only way that my girlfriend and I are going to make it is if God is first.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, mind you, I went to church. I was a religious guy. But I wasn't following Jesus. There was a lot of immorality. There was a lot of lying. There was a lot of deceiving and impurity in my life. But that's just what people did. You had to have your outlet.
Right.
I go back to college, the second week of school, and this gentleman comes up to me and says, hey, I want to invite you out to this informal Bible discussion. And I said, really? I said, okay. I've read the Bible, I know the stories, and you know. And so he goes, oh, really? He says, well, how about we get together and study the Bible? And I said, okay. I said, but I'm a busy man, so you got, you know, this much time. He said, give me 45 minutes. He took his watch off, and he put his timer on 45 minutes and placed it on the table in my room. Cypress Hall, 6th floor.
Wow.
And in 45 minutes, this guy taught me more about the scriptures and about Jesus than reading the Bible on my own for 7 years.
Wow.
And I remember weeping and crying because for the first time I understood partly the message of the cross. It cut me to the heart because I knew the way I was living was not right. I knew the things that I was doing, God was not happy. And I knew if I had died, I would be separated from God and actually going to hell. I believe that. So I said to this guy, well, when are we getting together again? And so we studied the Bible again and 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I was baptized into Christ. And haven't looked back. I share that to say hopelessness is a terrible way to live.
Come on, Russ.
It's a terrible way to live. Because God didn't make us to be hopeless.
Right.
We just read the scripture that God wants to fill us with joy because we're believers. Because we believe. We see beyond the here and now. We see beyond what's in front of us.
That's right.
We see what we can't see. We don't live by sight. We live by faith.
Right.
And so, it's amazing. God gave me hope. But God also had to keep teaching me something. He had to teach me something about adversity. See, how do you see adversity? Is it an opportunity? Is it a stepping stone? Is it God doing something and working to get you to a place where he can really work and use you and work through you? Or do you see it as a burden? Are you discouraged when things happen like your car breaks down? Or your iPad or whatever you guys have. Your iPhone has a glitch.
Okay. You got it.
See, I remember understanding something. God's goal for me was to not be like Russ. He was trying to help me become like Christ. And there was a lot of un-Christ-likeness that needed to get burnt out, that needed to get removed, that needed to get pounded out, that needed to be refined. And so when I understood his goal was for me to become like Christ, guess what? I never arrived. I'm a work in progress. I've always got something to grow in and change. And that's good. Mm-hmm. Pity the man or woman who think that they've arrived. Yeah, right. That they don't have anything to learn, that they know everything, and they've only been on this earth maybe less than 20 years. Pity the man who thinks he's got it together because things are quote-unquote going well in life, or they've had some success. You know, success has always been a challenge. Because, unfortunately, we don't know how to deal with success.
Right.
Success can go right to our heads, and we can't fit out of that door over there. That's a big door. But the point is, God is trying to help us become like Christ. See, the question is, how do you respond to adversity? Do you do the blame game? Or do you have the, oh, woe is me, pity, but you just don't know how challenging my life is. You don't understand what I'm going through. Do you go there? Or do you stop and say, okay, what is God trying to teach me?
Come on, bro.
What is he trying to show me?
Amen.
What is he trying to help me to see? Seeing how God is working to get you close to him, to get you dependent on him, to get you believing that I need him and him alone.
Yeah.
That he's got to be my everything. You know what he did to Joseph? He removed any and everything that Joseph could have put his confidence in. Wow. And he took it away. So that he would learn how to put his trust and his hope and his confidence in God. Through all the challenges, Joseph remained faithful and he remained focused on God. Are you with me there, Campus?
Come on, bro.
All right. So we talked about God's perspective, right? When we embrace God's perspective, then what we can do is we can give God the glory. Because now God's ready to work through us. Because we're out of the way. Right. We're not thinking it depends on us and how I do the study, how I share my faith, how I did this, how I did. We're out of the way. And now what we want to do is we want him to be glorified. And we want to just be vessels that he works through so that he can be honored and lifted up. Yes. Paul said it best. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
If you're full of yourself, there's no room for God.
Amen.
But boy, when we get empty, when we get humble, when we're ready to do whatever he wants, when we're ready to listen, when we're ready to hear what we maybe don't want to hear, well, now he can work. I want to share my journey. I made this video, and it's been a collection throughout the years. And it's kind of long.
With you, bro.
But I think you'll be encouraged.
Come on.
Say bye.
Look at that goatee.
Each time the wind blows, I hear your voice of
my calling. This is my brother Cheryl, boy. Disciple for 9 years. I have several cousins that are in New Jersey and Boston who are also disciples, and we've just been praying for a long time. You know, and I'm just so glad to see my mom here this morning. She wants to thank the sisters in the College Park sector that studied the Bible with her, Shirley Love, Tanisha, Nirva, as well as some of the other sisters in the College Park sector who have really helped her through this time. Susan, especially Susan Ray, stuck in there. Amen. So she's just happy to be here this morning with Jesus on His Lord.
Amen.
My wife has a little something to read from the disciples in the New York Church.
We send you greetings from the great New York City Church of Christ. Today marks a day that we've been praying for 9 years to see God orchestrate His plan in our family. As it says in Psalm 5:3, God has answered our prayers and has been faithful as usual. We believe that your life and faith will transform many lives from Georgia to New Jersey and all over the world. We are thankful to have you as our aunt and know our, and now our sister in Christ. We love you, and although we couldn't be there with you physically, our hearts and spirit are with you.
That Jesus is the Son of God, and do you believe in your heart that He was raised on the third day?
Yes.
What is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Because of your confession, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Man.
Now, you know, it's amazing when you stop and think about losing a loved one in Christ. Because that means they finished the race.
Yeah.
And although it was challenging, I mean, my aunt, she was in a Bible study and started to slur in her speech.
Wow.
She was having a stroke. And then 2 weeks later, God took her. She was only a disciple for 9 months. I'm like, wow, you really got away with that. She went to glory. You know, and my uncle, he had cancer, and I appreciate Daryl Jones. He was an instrumental part in helping, you know, plant Christ, you know, in my uncle's life. But I just love the fact that, you know, it's not about you, per se. It's not on me, but I get to witness miracles. You know, I shared my parents had a terrible marriage, and they got divorced. But it was kind of cool because when my mom got baptized, my dad had gotten baptized in 2006. My mom was baptized in 2009. My Sarah and I went on a double date with my parents.
Oh my gosh.
And it was really interesting because we really thought they might reconcile. Wow. And our family was praying about it. And I mean, it was crazy. And I remember sitting on my grandmother's porch having a kind of talk with them. And you know what? It was disappointing. But when I stopped and think about, okay, well, that wasn't God's plan. I believe Carla Murdoch is going to help my dad make it to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
You guys, a lot of you know her.
Come on, Carla.
Well, last year they were married. And she is so perfect in helping my dad. And I'm so grateful for her. But you know, you and I have to embrace God's plan for our lives. And a lot of embracing the plan is simply believing that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And we sing that song, you know, he done what he said he's doing. Maybe you guys don't sing that. But, you know, Joseph embraced God's plan. He imparted forgiveness to those who hurt him, and amazing things happened. If God can gain glory for himself from the unjustified murder of his son, can we not trust him to somehow glorify himself in and through the things we struggle with on a daily basis?
Right.
See, God specializes in working to turn tragedy into triumph. The greater the tragedy, the greater the potential for triumph. You know, as I said, my girlfriend, who is now my wife, Sari, of 25 years, I was hopeless about marriage. And now we've been married 25 years.
Come on, bro.
That's crazy.
Come on.
It's crazy. But God has a way of blowing our minds and answering not only hopes, but prayers from 20-something years ago. You know, one of the things that I also enjoy is the fact when we became disciples, we worked with the campus ministry in the former metro area, which is the east, basically the east. And it was only 2.5 years, and the campus ministry got to about 40 students.
Yeah, wow.
I am so fired up because there's probably 22 of us that are still faithful today.
Yeah.
After almost 30 some years.
Wow.
But we're not just faithful, we've done life together. We've grown up together. Now we got mortgages and homes, and some of us have extra homes and really good jobs. I got a great job. So anyway. But we've grown up together. And we didn't just want to just baptize people.
Yeah.
We wanted to baptize people and make it to heaven
Amen.
Together.
Come on.
Be faithful together. So campus ministry, I want to challenge you.
Yeah.
You guys up for challenge?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So here's another video. Then I'm going to sit down. This is Campus Advance 1991.
Praise God.
Acid wash jeans. Believe that God's got amazing, amazing dreams for your life, for your family,
come on,
for your campus.
Come on, bro.
Amazing things that He wants to do. And guess what? He wants to use you. Get God's perspective and give Him all the glory and expect to be amazed. In time, God raised up Joseph to second in command. And I tell you, it's much better to be raised up by God than to be raised up by man.
That's right.
Hebrews 6:11 says, "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized."
Yeah.
Thank you so much for paying attention. Thank you so much for being who you guys are. I love the zeal. I love the faithfulness. I love the hearts in this room. And together, let's give glory to our great and awesome God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Hey, so guys, before we wrap up, I wanted to open it up for a minute. Because I know many of us